In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So it's been a very interesting week, and I was pleased to see, just on a lighter side, there was one of the famous cartoons, the church cartoons that are always running around. There's a priest standing behind the altar with two of his acolytes behind him, and one of the acolytes says, "Hey, Father, I love your pink vestments." He says, "They're not pink, they're rose." He says, "How do you know they're rose?" And the other acolyte says, "Because Jesus rose from the grave, he didn't pink from it." All kidding aside, we come to Refreshment Sunday, and we have the Gospel of John. Now, it's very easy to actually preach on the first two lessons that we had as far as looking for hope, right? But what do you do with John? I mean, we know why John was there because we have knowledge that they didn't back then. But how do you turn this into a exciting and refreshing gospel? Other seasons for A and C have birth stories and shepherds in fields, and it becomes very easy to see that. And as I struggled with this, I actually began to think about the old seal of the Diocese of Northern Indiana. Do you guys remember that? The Greek that circled the seal that nobody could figure out what it said. What it actually says is to phos ton anthropon. That's what the Greek is. And what it actually means is the light to mankind. The light to mankind. Therein lies our hope. That is why we have the anticipation. And that's actually what John is talking about. The last several days, you know, as Christmas heats up, everybody's putting their 2 cents in. And there was an interesting article, and I don't remember who wrote it, and I don't even remember the entire contents of it. But what it was the 10 most common Jesuses to fall for. That aren't real, basically. The mean Jesus, the genie Jesus, the on and on, right? It becomes very common, the closer we get to Christmas, to sit there and think about ourselves and think of what's coming, think of what's been done for us. It becomes very easy to relegate Christ not to Lord and Savior, but instead to somebody that's a companion, that does those things that we ourselves can do. We just have him do them magically easier. That's not where our hope is. That's not what Christ is. In a sense, Christ is, in fact, our companion as we journey through life and beyond. But he is not a companion that we send off to do menial tasks. He's not a companion that does our bidding. Instead, he is the companion and Lord that came on our behalf to do that which we could never do and never hope to do. When you start thinking like that, it puts the hope and anticipation of Advent back into where it belongs. Church then becomes not something that you go to get something, although you do that. But it becomes glorification and adoration of the one who came to do what we could not. That is where the true hope of Advent lies. You know, part of this in days gone by, the reason that they call this Refreshment Sunday is leading up to it, Advent was a time of basically Lent. We spent Advent reminding ourselves how fallen, how broken, how miserable we were. We remind ourselves that we are not the epitome of holiness. That we are not worthy of any gift that we are given, though we are redeemable by grace. So, week after week after week of hearing that, you get a little break. You talk about a joyous time. You get a foretaste of what the anticipation is about. John 2 is a reminder of that. The Messiah couldn't come until the forerunner, the one crying out in the wilderness, came first to announce his way. And this is not the first time that we see this played out. If you actually know the biblical stories, then you'll remember we actually had the Magnificat. That comes from when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and both were with child. Elizabeth, of course, with John the Baptist. Mary with Christ. And upon their meeting, the child in Elizabeth's womb, it says, leapt for joy. And Elizabeth explains that she knows what Mary carries in her womb because of her child's response. Two women that had absolute hope. Mary's response gives us one of the most beautiful pieces of verse. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. That is a phrase of anticipation, of hope, of faith of things to come. Not presents wrapped with a bow, not trees all lit up, not snow on the ground for a white Christmas. Not family and friends gathered around at that time. Although, make no mistake, that is important and enjoyable. But the reason for Christmas, the reason for Advent, is not to let us know we have 25 days, shopping days left to Christmas. It's not to let us cram all of our appointments into these days of meeting family and friends. All of that happens. That's life. We're humans. We love to get things. I understand. It is a countdown to the hope that we can never give ourselves. Nor do we have to. You see, therein is the refreshment. It matters not one bit what we do. What matters is what has been done. What matters is because of what has been done, what is then our response? What is our response? I know for me, it is the Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. Those are amazing words at Christmas time. And throughout the year, the faith of those that have gone before gives me hope and places John and Advent in the proper context for me. It is a time to rejoice, a time of anticipation, a time of great wonder, something that we seem to have lost. And I hope that you find that this Advent season. Amen.